Hi, this is Sandy, and you're listening to Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. It's Sunday, April 21st, and this is your Sunday sermon. Now, at the end of last Sunday's sermon, I said that there were two ways to implement that message. The first was to grow your faith. Did any of you take steps to grow spiritually, like reading your Bible maybe, or maybe praying more often, maybe coming to the midweek Bible study, or something like that? And the second way was to ask the question daily, God, who do you want me to bless today? Did any of you experience that? I hope you did, and I hope you'll keep doing that because we're called to witness where we are, but not stay where we are. Have you ever thought about how many decisions you make every day? According to an article in the Harvard Business Review, December 2023, the average adult makes 33,000 to 35,000 total decisions daily. Now, some decisions are really easy, like the one I made last Monday when a friend told me he had a coupon to play a round of golf free at the Quarry Golf Course in San Antonio, Texas. The green fees there are regularly $175 per person, so that was a no-brainer. But there are other decisions that aren't so easy, like a spouse having to decide whether their loved one goes into a nursing home, or maybe even taking them off life support. As we continue in our journey through the book of Acts, our topic today is titled Wise Decisions and God's Will, and it's from Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. I'll tell you more in just a moment, but right now, join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, thank you for this amazing opportunity we have to continue our journey. We're just scratching the surface of the book of Acts. Thank you for this. Teach us today. We want to know about making wise decisions and your will and how they go together. So enlighten us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Here's what we're going to discover today. When we obey, pray, and stay, God will make a way. Now we'll unpack that and we'll see four key aspects to wise decision making. So open your Bible or Bible apps to Acts chapter 1 verse 12 and let's get to it. First up, obey immediately. After Jesus commissioned these first followers to be his witnesses, they watched as he ascended into heaven. Since they were told to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit, we see in verse 12, they immediately obeyed. This is what it says. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. The Greek translation for a distance of half a mile is a Sabbath day's journey. This refers to the distance the tribes would have to travel for worship at the tabernacle when they were in the wilderness. Luke 24:52 gives us a sense of their mood. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy. The Mount of Olives, also called Olivet, is significant in the scriptures. In Ezekiel 11, verses 23 and 24, the glory of God departed from the temple and eventually ascended back to heaven from the Mount of Olives. It says, then the glory of the Lord went up from the city and stopped above the mountain to the east. Afterward, the Spirit of God carried me back again to Babylonia to the people in exile there. And so ended the vision of my visit to Jerusalem. Just moments earlier, the disciples witnessed Jesus ascend into heaven from this very same mountain. The Mount of Olives is where Jesus agonized in prayer. As we anticipate the second coming of Christ, Zechariah 14:4 describes what and where this will happen. On this day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west. Half the mountain will move toward the north and half toward the south. Immediate obedience is the most important part of our discipleship. Let me ask you, beloved, how are you doing at obeying? Is there something that you've been putting off? Remember this, I found this quote this week and it's absolutely appropriate. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Some of us may be seeking to know God's will about something while not obeying the will of God we already know. For instance, the Bible is clear. God's will is our sanctification and sexual purity, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. God wants us to grow, to gather, to give, and to go with the gospel. Let's be like David, who declared in Psalm 40, verse 8, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. The second detail to help us make wise decisions is to pray with perseverance. Check out verses 13 and 14. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room in the house they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Now notice, they went to the upper room. This is the upper room we're talking about. This means it was a specific place they had gathered in before. It's possible this is where they celebrated the Last Supper, as seen in Luke 22:12, and where they congregated Easter evening while huddling in fear. So these verses tell us that the 11 disciples gathered along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, his brothers, and some other women. Jesus broke down gender barriers because there were so many faithful women following him, they were referred to as quote-unquote the women. We know some of their names from other accounts: Mary Magdalene, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Salome. Matthew 27:55 tells us there were many women, quote-unquote. These ministry patrons funded this mobile ministry team with their financial blessings. Would you also notice now that Jesus had brothers who were now believers? Let me point out that Mary, the mother of Jesus, also gathered for prayer and worship. After experiencing a sword piercing her soul when Jesus was crucified, she is now a joyful witness of the resurrection of Christ. Here's a few things that we see. Number one, Mary is listed among the women, not above them. Mary is praying with these followers. They're not praying to her. Mary had other children after Jesus was born as well. And contrary to Catholic belief, there's no evidence of Mary's assumption into heaven. This is the last time she's listed in the Bible, and we are never told to pray to her, and she's never given the title of co-redemptrix or Queen of Heaven or Mother of God in any passage of Scripture. Now notice, it says they met all together. In other words, they were unanimously united as they lived on mission for the glory of God. This is in contrast to the time they were likely in this room the night before Jesus was crucified. Luke 22:24 tells us the disciples were disputing about who was the greatest. Thankfully, things had changed because they are now living out Psalm 133:1. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. I'm so grateful for the sweet unity God has given us at Word of Hope Christian Church. As they gathered, they were constantly united in prayer, it says. This means that they were adhering firmly, cleaving faithfully, if you will, and continuing steadfastly. In reading through Acts, it becomes really clear that these followers were able to make such a deep and lasting impact because they were deeply devoted to God, to each other, and to reaching the lost around them. We see this in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, which says, "They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people." As they waited to become witnesses, they were living out the call of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray continually, and that of Romans 12:12 to be constantly in prayer. If you're seeking to make a decision, make sure you're seeking the Lord in prayer and do so in concert with others. They knew they would never be able to witness without the Lord's power. After obeying immediately and praying with perseverance, these first followers were known for staying in Scripture. Look at verses 15 to 17. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. "Brothers," he said, "the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us." I love how Peter, who had failed so publicly by denying Christ, is now reinstated as a leader. He's living out the commission given him by Christ to feed his lambs and strengthen his sheep. After addressing them as brothers, he quickly goes to the Bible. Verse 16, "The scriptures had to be fulfilled. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit." He recognizes the Bible as inspired, containing prophecies that must be fulfilled. No doubt they were all wondering why Judas would sell Jesus out, especially since he was one of the trusted 12. Just like God used the mistake of individuals in the Old Testament for his purposes, he'll use what Judas did to accomplish his plans. When you're faced with any situation, ask this question: what does the Bible say? Our April 5x5x5 New Testament Bible reading program for this year focuses this month on the book of Galatians, James, and Matthew. These readings will help you, beloved, as you follow God more faithfully and you seek his wisdom. Next, Peter summarized what Judas did in verses 18 and 19. I should tell you ahead of time, it's a bit graphic. Verse 18, Judas had bought a field with the money he received from his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all his intestines. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place an Aramaic name, Akeldama, which means field of blood. Judas didn't personally purchase this property, but his blood money was used to acquire the field of blood, according to Matthew 27:5-8. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. The leading priests picked up the coins. It wouldn't be right to put this money in the temple treasury, they said, since it was payment for murder. After some discussion, they finally decided to buy the potter's field, and they made it a cemetery for foreigners. That's why the field is still called the Field of Blood. Now, some have wondered if this is in contradiction because Matthew described Judas hanging himself and Luke tells us he fell headlong. Actually, the accounts are complementary since it's likely the rope or branch he used broke, causing him to fall headlong. Are you aware that there are approximately 132 suicides every day in our country? That's one every 10.9 minutes. Perhaps some of you have grieved from the suicide of a family member or friend. I know I have, as I have performed at least a half dozen funerals for people who've taken their own lives. And while I don't personally know them, their deaths rocked me to the core nonetheless. If you or someone you know are contemplating ending your life right now, please hold on to these truths. There are three of them. First, there is hope. The Bible says hope gets the last word. Secondly, there is love. On your worst day, beloved, God still loves you more than you can imagine. And thirdly, there is community. We are here to help you. Whatever you're going through, remember this. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary situation. God never wants us to end our lives prematurely. With the help of God and others, we can get through whatever you're facing. Please come and talk to me after service, or if you have a church home, talk to your church leaders, your elders, your pastors, if you're struggling. Please, don't just try to go through this alone. Now back to the text. Look at verse 20. Peter pinpoints two passages from Psalms which show how Judas fulfilled prophecy and how they must fill his vacant position. This is what verse 20 says. This was written in the book of Psalms where it says, "Let his home become desolate with no one living in it." It also says, "Let someone else take his position." Now back in John 13:18, on the night of the Passover, Jesus informed his disciples that one of them would betray him by quoting Psalm 41:9, "The one who eats my food has turned against me." The Psalm of David was written after Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, betrayed him by joining the rebellion led by David's son Absalom. You can read more about that in 2 Samuel 17. When Ahithophel realized the revolt would fail, he went home and hanged himself. Both Judas and Ahithophel had trusted positions, but they both betrayed their leader and both men hanged themselves. By staying in the scriptures, Peter gives the disciples a framework to understand what happened and what they should do now. The Bible gives both an explanation of what happened and how to move forward. Beloved, during a time of waiting, make sure you stay in the scriptures. The plan for making wise decisions is to obey, to pray, and to stay in the scriptures. And that leads to the fourth directive, which is this: God will make a way. I want to acknowledge the help that I received from another pastor's insight for these verses 21 to 26, which I'm going to share with you. These verses help us to see the process the church first went through to make decisions. First, identify the need. Look at verses 21 and 22. Peter establishes the importance of replacing Judas. "So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken up from us. Whoever's chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection." Since Jesus had chosen 12 disciples and had promised that they would one day sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, Matthew 19:28, it was important to fill this office. On top of that, Peter had just quoted from Psalm 109:8, which predicts someone would replace Judas. Peter then lists three qualifications for a true apostle. Number one, he must have been with Christ from the beginning. Number two, the apostles must know him. And number three, since the resurrection is the heart of the Christian faith, he must be a first-hand witness of Jesus being alive. Christianity is true because it is based on true facts of history. And incidentally, I believe there are no apostles today because it is no longer possible for them to meet those three requirements. Next, they considered the options. Two men are nominated. Look at verse 23. Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. One man had three first names. That's pretty incredible. But that's all we know about him. We don't know anything about Matthias either. The early church historian Eusebius says these men were among the 70 whom Jesus sent out two by two in Luke 10 verses 1 to 17, but we can't know for sure. We only know that they met the three requirements Peter listed. Next, seek the Lord in prayer. When we're unsure what to say, it's time to pray. We see this in verses 24 and 25. They all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you've chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. This is the first recorded prayer of the new church. Note how short it is, 37 words in English, and how it's centered on God's sovereignty. Because God had already chosen one of these two men, they wanted to know exactly who he wanted for the job. It's as if they were praying, God, please show us what you know so we know how we should go. During the Civil War, someone asked President Lincoln, do you think God is on our side? He answered, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. But I'm very anxious to know whether or not we're on his side. One pastor writes, there are really only two prayers in the universe, my will be done or thy will be done. And lastly, decide what is best. What the church does next is a bit surprising. Look at verse 26. And then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. The casting of lots was done in the Old Testament to determine God's will in certain situations. In 1 Chronicles 24, verse 5, the casting of lots was a means of choosing temple servants. In Joshua 14, 2, lots were used to apportion land lots. In Leviticus 16, 8, lots were cast on the Day of Atonement to determine which of the two goats would become the sin offering. In the New Testament, we read in Luke 1:9 that Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. We also read of Roman soldiers casting lots to determine who would get the clothes of Jesus in John 19:24. So they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scripture that says, they divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. It's likely the names of Joseph and Matthias were written on small rocks and put in a jar. After the container was shaken, it was tipped over and whatever name came out first would be the one God had chosen. This makes me think of two things. First, I wonder if Joseph demanded a recount. Second, Matthias didn't have very big shoes to fill, did he? Anything he did would be better than what Judas did. This was an example of how these first followers trusted the sovereignty of God as stated in Proverbs 16:33. We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. Incidentally, this is the last time in the Bible lots were used to determine God's will. Now that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we don't make decisions this way. We are called to lean on the Lord and learn to love Him with everything we've got. And when we do, He promises to lead us. Our task is to lean and learn. His job is to lead us. We could say it like this. When we lean on the Lord and learn from Him, He will lead us. You know, we often make knowing God's will all about location. Where should I be? Or vocation, what should I be doing? When God is more about our transformation, who should I be? The question is not where are you going to go, but what kind of person are you going to be when you get there? Finding God's will is less about knowing a roadmap and more about growing in relationship with Him on the journey. So to bring these four key aspects of wise decision-making together, when we obey, pray, and stay, God will make a way. Let me bring this to a close. Over the course of one's lifetime, the average person will make 773,618 decisions and come to regret 143,262 of them. That's around 20%. The most important decision you'll ever make, though, is to receive a gift you don't deserve. And when you do, you'll never regret it. So what do you want your story to be, beloved? How do you want people to remember you? More importantly, how do you want God to see your life and record your story? Your decisions lead to outcomes in your life which determine what your life story is. Every decision you make becomes part of your story. So what do you want your story to be? Do you want people to remember how you love sports, loved money, wrecked the family, destroyed your marriage or some other physical or worldly metric? Or do you want to be remembered as a follower of Jesus, saved by grace? Even though you've made life messy, God can take that messy life and accomplish His will through it. He could transform you to a totally different person, overcoming the sins of your past. I know, because I am one. Do you want to be remembered for trading Jesus for money like Judas is remembered? Do you want to be remembered for the worst sin you committed in your life like Judas? Do you want to be remembered as a true follower of Jesus whose sin is covered over by grace? Do you want a story like Peter or a story like Judas? Your decisions lead to certain results in your life, which determine what your story will be. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Choose wisely, my friends, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.